The first time I ever preached at Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church was back in October of 2017. They were located exactly 127 miles from my house, and it took me exactly 2 hours to get there. Now, when they first invited me to come guest preach, I thought to myself, man, that is really far. And I wasn't sure I wanted to do that. But they offered to pay for my mileage, and so, well, okay, I thought, what the heck? So we did it. Over that following year, I would guest preach at Westmoreland about once or twice a month. And this was back when I was on staff with Flourish San Diego. And so because we had a lot of great content at Flourish, I offered to share some of our content with their leaders and eventually shared it with the whole congregation. Now, in one of those meetings with their leaders, one of the things that we discussed was what they were doing in terms of ministry other than Sunday mornings. And their response was, well, not much. You know, they had Vacation Bible School once a year. They had an annual ice cream social, you know, those kinds of things. So they had some things. But that question got them to thinking, right? Now, little did I know that I would eventually become their interim pastor. That happened last October. And so I've been there now for about 7 or 8 months. And man, what a blessing it's been to be there. But last November, just after I started, this amazing little church started a food pantry for the community of Westmoreland, something that proved to meet a huge need for a town that suffers from a lot of food insecurity. And even though the food pantry started after I got there, the reality is that I had nothing to do with it, other than maybe asking a question that got them thinking. The church itself, right, had been working on this for months in advance, months before I ever arrived in a full-time or permanent kind of way. Well, permanent in terms of being on staff there. Okay. That was already in the works before I ever got there. Now today, at this time in May of 2019, this food pantry is serving over 100 of the 800 households in Westmoreland. It's not a big town, but a lot of need. And so really, really cool. Now, in this episode, I want to introduce you to Carrie Augusta. Carrie is a get-it-done kind of a person, and in a lot of ways was the driving force behind the food pantry. And as you listen to the story, how they started and the impact it's having, I think you're going to find that it's a really inspiring story. I'm Marcus Watson, and this is episode 34 of Spiritual Life and Leadership. Okay, Carrie, Augusta, hi there. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Marcus.
Good morning. So I'm glad to have you here on this podcast. Carrie is a member at Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church, which I'll let you tell more about shortly, which is where I'm the interim pastor right now. And so I'm excited for Carrie to share a little bit about the food pantry at the church and kind of how that came about. But Carrie, before we start, let me ask you a few kind of get to know you questions. And the first one is, Carrie, what job would you be terrible at?
I believe I would be terrible at being any type of politician. Oh. Because I don't have the patience for how long bureaucracy takes.
Oh, I can see that.
I like immediate results.
Yeah, for sure. You get things done. That's one of the things I've learned about you. Yep. What would a mirror opposite of yourself be like?
Probably somebody that's kind of shy and quiet. I'm not a very shy person, I don't believe. So, yeah, I think that would be pretty much my opposite.
Okay. And when do you feel truly alive?
There's many things that make me feel truly alive, but obviously you see me with my grandkids a lot, Marcus, and they make me feel alive and hopeful for the future and just excited to be around. I feel alive in church. There are many things that make me feel that way, but those are some of them.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, I've really enjoyed getting to know you over the last, well, really like a year and a half now. But can you tell us a little bit just kind of about your background, you know, where you grew up and maybe your faith journey and kind of what brought you to the church and where you're at now?
I am Imperial Valley born and raised. I've lived here my whole life, kind of lived in a couple of towns in the Imperial Valley, but never far. I'd never deviated very far from my home base. I have always attended some sort of church, probably not consistently. I grew up definitely very faith-based. My family, my grandmother, who is 95, is a devout Catholic. For many, many years of her life, she attended church mass every morning before work and on Sundays. And both my grandparents attended church. So I saw that faith-based, what it did for them. And I, as I got older, I saw that I needed that in my life also. I often wonder, my grandmother that's 95 right now, she, my grandfather died when she was early 40s and left her with 7 kids. Wow. And, as a single mom. And I, for many years, I wondered, how did she do that? How did she get through that? Well, now I know. She went to church every morning and prayed. That's how she got through. Wow. Yeah. So I see that. I see the need for that. We started coming to Westmoreland Church about 11 years ago, Westmoreland Presbyterian Church. Uh-huh. And a large part of it was due to my husband's mother that attended church there. And we thought we needed to be there with her after my husband's brother died. And we really enjoyed it. And my mom got sick and she died not long after that. And I just realized how much I needed God in my life consistently to help me deal with those issues and, you know, and death. And so that's kind of how we came to be planted there.
Yeah. And so over the years, you and your husband, Richard, have gotten more and more involved. And what has that experience been like, just kind of getting more involved in the church?
Well, it's really become a big part of our lives now. And Richard sings weekly there at church. And that's, I think, part of he feels his calling to God. And me, we're bringing our grandkids regularly to church to give them that experience and that faith-based, you know, life. And they enjoy it. And I like doing things with them there. I'm helping with Vacation Bible School. And it's brought a lot to our lives. It's probably helped our marriage a lot, too. You know, and I'm glad we're doing it together. It would be really awkward or kind of weird if one of us wanted to be, you know, very involved in the church and the other didn't. So I'm thankful that we're on the same page there, that we both enjoy it so much. So it's been nothing but a good experience for
us. Awesome. So let's talk about then the food pantry, which is, I think, really has become kind of an amazing ministry for the town of Westmoreland. And even kind of cool, recently got the attention of the Presbyterian Church USA denomination, and they got posted on their Instagram page and other things. But you can talk about that as part of the story. But why don't you just start with where it started? Like, how did this idea first come up?
Well, let's go back to the very beginning. We were without a pastor at our church, and we were tasked with doing a mission study and doing a self-reflection of our church and the community. And we saw some of the common themes that popped up. We looked at the mission study from 10 years ago, and some of the common themes were food insecurity in the town and drug abuse and just poverty. The poverty level is very low there. So we on the mission study team kind of thought, how can we start to change some of this narrative? And one of our first ideas was to do something for the community, and we did a little health fair at the church, and that was back in April of last year. And that just kind of took off and gave us an insight and agencies throughout from the Valley an insight of what we were trying to accomplish, and they wanted to help us. The Imperial County Health Department and our public administrator's office and a health organization called Clínicas de Salud had a staff member that was part of it. And also you, Marcus, telling us you when we asked for your help with the mission study, one piece of advice that you gave us that really stuck with us was that we tend to think about that 1 hour on Sunday and don't think about the rest of the week, how we can impact our community, our little church can impact our community. And so that we took all of that to heart. And we started talking about this food pantry and as our first mission of how we could start addressing some of the needs in our community and just get our church more involved with the needs that in the community. And that everybody kind of jumped on board. I just have to feel like a lot of it is part of God's perfect timing for us. And just the way everything kind of fell together. And so the Westmoreland Community Food Pantry was opened in November of 2018. And we started out, you know, feeding about maybe 50 people a week. And now we're up to well over 100 households. And there's approximately 800 households in Westmoreland. So we're serving a big need there.
That's just amazing. Let me kind of go back and ask a couple questions about stuff that happened along the way. One of the things that you mentioned was food insecurity. Can you describe what that means?
Well, food insecurity is when people aren't able to provide enough food for their families. And one of the byproducts in Westmoreland is there's one grocery store with very limited food items to choose from, especially healthy items, and very limited produce. And it's usually subpar produce and at an expensive cost. So most people aren't going to buy that. So people in Westmoreland aren't getting some of those basic needs that that would help with a healthy diet. And, you know, therefore, there's a lot of people that are struggling with diabetes and other health related issues. And probably part of it's attributed to their diets. So we're trying to help with some of that. And we really try to concentrate on produce, healthy items to stock our pantry. And there's a lot of senior citizens that barely have enough money to make it through the month. So they are, by the end of the month, they're definitely food insecure. So we're trying to fill that gap.
So they run out of food before the next check comes is kind of the idea, something like that. And so this, the food pantry was not your first idea. That wasn't the first thing that came to mind. What did you say was the first kind of thing that you tried?
We had a health fair and we brought in some local agencies to do blood pressure checks, blood sugar checks, and just talk about, and mental health awareness also is another part that we're really kind of trying to concentrate on, because a lot of the food insecurity, some of it is systemic from other underlying issues. So we're trying to figure out those needs also and how to address them. Giving people food is probably easier than trying to fix a mental health problem or, you know, stop their drug addiction. So, but we're trying.
And so how did you transition from, okay, we did the health fair. And then what happened that led to then saying, you know what, but maybe what we should do is a food pantry.
Well, back to the Imperial County Health Department, they, one of their staff members that was part, they took us under their wing, our little Westmoreland stakeholders group. And, you know, said, how can we help you? They saw the biggest need being a food pantry or some, you know, food insecurity being a major issue in Westmoreland. So they kind of helped guide us to that. We had to get some things modified in our building to meet health standards and stuff. So they really took us under their wing and just worked with us to help get this established. And a big part is we became a partner with the Imperial Valley Food Bank, and we can buy food from them at a very discounted rate, 19 cents a pound for anything that they have. And they typically get a lot of free produce, and we really try to take advantage of that when it's available.
Oh, nice. And you mentioned the stakeholders group. Tell us a little bit more about the stakeholders group. What's that, and how did that come about?
And
I'm curious where the name came from too.
Well, we were kind of given that name, but you know, stakeholders are a group of individuals interested in their community and how to improve it. So with our mission study, when we saw what can we do, you know, started talking about how to change some of these narratives that have been going on in Westmoreland for a long time. Yeah. We formed a group of people and invited community members. Our police chief is actively involved. Some of the city council members and the school superintendent, just community-minded people in Westmoreland that wanted to try to help and make a difference and change things. So that's how we became the Westmoreland Stakeholders Group. And and that's where we set our mind on having a little health fair to start off with. We also, last September, were able to have it's called a community enhancement fair, because it wasn't just health related, but we had it at the school in their auditorium, and we had over 30 local agencies participating, giving out information to the city's citizens of Westmoreland about a lot of things, how transportation in Imperial Valley works, and the American Red Cross was there, and the health department and multiple health agencies were also there, but just trying to better the lives of the people in Westmoreland.
Yeah, that's really cool. What I love about this story and the way this came about is that it wasn't the kind of thing where someone said, "Oh, hey, I heard this, you know, other church in this other town did this program, and it's really successful there. And if we do it here, you know, then we'll be really successful here." It's something that came about from listening, you know, listening to other stakeholders, listening to people in the community, really kind of looking at data, which is a form of listening, right?
Absolutely.
Looking and listening just to people probably that you knew in the community, and people even in the church who struggle with food insecurity, right?
Yes.
And then you tried something. And what I love is that the food pantry wasn't the first idea that you guys had. The first idea was this health fair, right? And so you tried it, and it was good. Yeah. I'm kind of I hope you don't mind if I just kind of riff for a moment.
No.
on kind of what you just shared and kind of what I know a little bit and just kind of my perspective on it. But there was a health fair, and it was good and it was beneficial. But I get the sense, you know, that there was kind of like, well, but that's not quite it, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
And then as you continue to talk and listen and imagine, this idea for a food pantry came up, and you became aware of other resources. What was the big one that said what you really need is a food pantry? You mentioned another organization, Imperial Valley, something or other.
It was Imperial Valley Health Department, one of the
Health Department.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, because they get a lot of this data, and so they really saw the need there, and they work with the schools and stuff on nutrition, and they were aware of, you know, the needs in Westmoreland. There's a lot of kids that don't have enough food for the weekend in Westmoreland. And the Imperial Valley Food Bank does do a backpack program where they send kids home with a backpack of food for the weekend.
That's cool.
But that's not always enough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What I love is that you didn't just, you know, read the Bible, which is important, you know what I mean, in order to make the decision. You didn't just pray, which is also important to make that decision, but you, and you didn't just have a committee meeting, you know what I mean, to make that decision, but you listened to the Imperial Valley Health Department,
yes,
which is, you know, so speaking kind of big picture theologically is something that I would argue God put in place to help people, to bring flourishing to people in the Imperial Valley. And you were willing to partner with them. And partner with the Imperial Valley Food Bank, which is bigger than our food pantry, but is a resource. It's just a part of how God is working through this. So what I love about the story also is just that there are partnerships, you know, it's
Absolutely.
Not just, yeah, it's not just our little church, doing this and saying, hey, look how great we are, but it's also, you know, other organizations that we acknowledge are a part of, you know, how God is moving through the food pantry.
Absolutely.
Does that sound right? Does
yes.
that sound good?
Yes. Perfect. Yes. We yeah, definitely good. Could not be doing any of this without those resources. We need them.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when people come to get food, is there any kind of an expectation that they get involved in the church or
no, none at all, but we have been putting invitations with our church service hours. So, you know, if it sparks a couple people to show up in church one Sunday,
sure,
that's all we can ask for. If we're helping, you know, one person that might be struggling with something that needs to pray about it, then, you know, that's what we're all, that's the only thing we can hope for.
That's right. Yeah. And what I love about that is that there isn't an expectation that this is a ministry that's going to get the church to grow and get bigger. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times, in my experience anyway, and even just in my own personal experience in the past, you know, I've thought, oh, this is a good ministry that will help our church to get bigger, you know?
Right.
And I don't sense that at all.
From the food pantry.
Yeah.
But these people, I mean, that are coming to the food pantry week after week, they're becoming our friends, you know.
Yeah,
we know them by name now, and we're you know, greeting them, and they're feeling comfortable there, and that's what's important, you know. If they feel comfortable coming to the food pantry every week, then they might feel comfortable to show up at a service on Sunday too.
Yeah, right. We're providing physical food right first, meeting physical needs first, and then if we can meet spiritual needs at some point, then we would be happy to do that, right?
Yes.
I love it because what I love about that is there's no objectification. Sometimes what we do in churches is we objectify people. And what I mean by that is it's not – so this is going to sound worse than I think it really is. But sometimes – and again, my own personal experience, speaking for myself – not that I didn't care about people, but sometimes when we would serve someone or a group of people, like, yes, they were in our minds people, but also they were, potential church members, right?
Exactly,
or potential numbers to boost our attendance, you know? And
so
there's sort of it can be when that's the objective, it can be kind of dehumanizing to the people that we're serving.
Absolutely.
And again, that's not what I sense here, right? There is no pressure to show up. There's no expectation to show up. It's just, we want to love you. We want to bless you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel that with every single volunteer that is there, you know, they are just there because they want to do something good in the community. They want to do some of God's work. You know, they're dedicated to this mission for sure.
That's awesome. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, just about yourself, like how has doing the food pantry, and you've been really kind of the key person to kind of get it going, but how has the food pantry shaped you spiritually and your own spiritual life? And maybe your understanding of God and your understanding of church, and I don't know, how has that been affected?
Well, I mean, it's just taught me, you know, just, well, you're you're my teacher right now, and I'm learning a lot from your sermons and just your, yeah. But I'm not there to judge anybody. We're there just to help. It's very rewarding. I know everybody that's working there feels that way. It makes you feel good being there, and it's fun. I've seen the growth in our church, family-like ties. I mean, it's typically the same people showing up there every Thursday, every Saturday. Uh-huh. And it really has been good for our church as a whole. Just our sense of family there. And it's what we feel like we need to be doing right now. That's for sure.
It is cool, you know, on Sunday mornings when usually it's you who makes the announcement about how many people we served that week and how often you get to say we broke a new record this week. You know, 115 people this week. And
yes, every person, I mean, we have a wonderful team. I mean, we have a person that's just in charge of writing the thank you notes that's important. You know, we need to thank everybody that's contributing. We have a person that does the shopping. I'm kind of the overseer of the budget for it. People that are really good at making the bags every week and all working together. And that's where the camaraderie is. And, you know, people have said, it's just fun working there. We're learning a whole new set of demographics that exist in Westmoreland, you know, that where the needs are and stuff. So it's important. It's important work that has been much needed. I see. When we're doing 115 households out of 800 households, you know, that you realize how impactful it is and how big the needs are or were. So,
You know, I was just thinking, I'm not a math guy, but I think the number is 16% of the households in Westmoreland suffer from food insecurity. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think if we're doing like 100 out of 800, that's right around 16%.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes.
So that's amazing. We're meeting that need for possibly all those families.
Yes.
So looking ahead, what do you think is next, if there is a next, or what do we need to start thinking about in terms of serving the community of Westmoreland?
Obviously just continue with this, continue to look for grants. We have received one grant so far for $5,000 that has helped us tremendously and will help get us through the summer months. But we also need, you know, keep funding it because the needs are strong. And then really kind of sit down and just continue to address the underlying issues there, possibly like drug addiction and mental health, and continue to meet on those problems. We've invited Imperial County Behavioral Health in to be there during the pantry hours, just to visit with people if somebody needs help. We've also, the Imperial County Food Bank, Imperial Valley Food Bank, does a commodities distribution there in our parking lot once a month. In addition,
what does that mean?
They hand out USDA commodities, like sometimes they have chicken or produce or stuff, but they only do it once a month, they're in the parking lot. And so we have invited social services in, Imperial County Social Services, to be there in case people need, you know, guidance there. We've talked about possibly hosting AA meetings in our church or NA meetings, or you know, how can we continue to serve in other ways also. So it's definitely a growing ministry. It's and just looking at what the needs are. And also with the kids and how we can make an, you know, starting young, how we can make an impact there and try to prevent those things from happening. So.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Well, I gotta say I love it. And, I'm grateful that I get to be, you know, a part of Westmoreland's ministry for this season, kind of while this is, getting going and becoming such an important ministry in that community.
Well, we're grateful to you too.
thanks. Is there any way that people can find out more on the food pantry, maybe social media or anything like that?
Social media, definitely. I try to keep our Facebook page up, the Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church, and post information about our food pantry. And also how to help the Imperial Valley Food Bank, because we rely on them so heavily also. They are right now in a little bit of a crisis mode where they don't have a lot of donations coming in. And it's, you know, people tend to focus during the holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas on their food drives. But this time of year, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of those going on. So those are important, is to get local organizations to have their own food drives within their businesses. So I'm trying to put that information up. And our own church, you know, we still need, we could do our own food drives there also. We have a very generous congregation that has supported this pantry up and, you know, so we're going to continue to rely on them also.
Can you give us social media in terms of connecting? Can you give us like specific Twitter handles or Instagram or whatever that
Twitter, but we have Instagram and it's WC Pres P-R-E-S Church is our
WC Press Church. Okay.
Is our Instagram page.
Instagram. Okay.
And then our Facebook page is Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you know, let me just kind of throw this out there. Would it be helpful for if anyone listening wanted to send a donation to the food pantry?
Absolutely. It would be.
Yeah.
It would be greatly appreciated. That's for sure.
And what's the address? I'll include that in the show notes, but if you can give us an address, that'd be great.
Sure. It's P.O. Box 668 Westmoreland, California, 92281.
Okay. And it'd be Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church.
Yes. Or WCPC. It works also.
Okay. Oh, what is that again?
WCPC.
Okay, WCPC, and then the address you just mentioned, which I'll include in the show notes. Make the check out to WCPC, and then designate it in the subject line for the food pantry.
Absolutely.
Something like that?
That would be great.
Okay.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
Well, cool. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for everything you do for the church and for the community of Westmoreland, and I appreciate yours and my partnership, just kind of working together at the church.
I very much appreciate it. I see nothing but good things happening in our little community and in our church right now, Marcus. It's all good and everything's positive going forward. So I also want to mention about that we are doing a summer meals program through the USDA for the kids of Westmoreland. From the time that summer school is out until school begins, they will get a free lunch at the Westmoreland Youth Hall. So that's part of our stakeholders group. And the Imperial County Library is working with us to do a pop-up library during that time also. So
awesome.
That's something that and the kids of Westmoreland have not had a whole lot of activity during the summer months to keep them busy. So we're looking at those things. The Westmoreland swimming pool was closed for 5 years and it just got resurfaced and redone, and it will be open for the summer. So that great activities for the kids to do. Swimming, they can go have lunch, go read a book in the library, and go swimming some more. So we're happy for that.
Yeah, that's so good. Awesome. Well, thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Marcus.
I'll see you on Sunday.
Okay.
One of the things that I love about this story is that this little powerhouse of a church started this ministry without a pastor. Right? So often churches think that the pastor has to be in charge of everything, or that it has to be the pastor's idea, or that the pastor has to sign off on it. And a lot of times pastors feel that way too. Right? But this church didn't have a pastor, which in some ways I think was probably a blessing. You know, now it's not that a church doesn't need a pastor, and I think it's a blessing for them now to have a pastor and for me to be able to be the pastor of this church. But you know, this ministry isn't the pastor's, the professional Christian's ministry, right? This ministry, this food pantry, is the people's ministry, right? And one of the beautiful things is the way the people have taken ownership of it, right? And if they don't participate, if they don't serve, if they don't get involved, if they don't offer themselves to this work, it's not going to happen, right? This is a ministry of the whole body of Christ in this congregation. So really, really cool. And if you'd like to know more, as Carrie mentioned at the end of the interview, you can follow the Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church on Instagram. Their handle is WC Press Church. So that's spelled WCPRES and then church, CHURCH. And you can also like the Facebook page for the church. I would suggest searching for Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church. I'm not going to give you the exact link because there's a bunch of numbers after that as far as any, in terms of what I was looking it up anyway. But search for that, and I will put the link in the show notes, and you can find their page, and if you want to, you can like their page there. And if you would like to donate to the food pantry, this is the first time I'm asking for any kind of a donation, so it feels a little bit weird, but I'm trusting that it's okay because it really is going to a great cause. You can send a check to Westmoreland Community Presbyterian Church, P.O. Box 668, Westmoreland, California, 92281. And you can make the check payable to WCPC and designate the check to the food pantry, and then it will go directly to that ministry. And, you know, what would be great is if you would let us know if you're a listener to Spiritual Life and Leadership. It would just be really great to know who you are and to know that, you know, that you care about this and that there's a connection there. I just think that would be awesome. So thanks for listening, and thanks for being a part of this story. Even though it may seem like, you know, you're far, far away, for me, this has all been the podcast and serving at this church and meeting people and this ministry, the food pantry. For me personally, it's all part of the same journey. And so I just love the idea of these branches or of the journey. That's mixing metaphors, but whatever. Right. That's just that they're all kind of coming together. And anyway, I'd love to know it if you're making a donation to this ministry. Well, anyway, thank you so much for listening today, and I will see you next time here on Spiritual Life and Leadership.